At Dedham Savings, we're fans of Boston's historic basketball team, just like you. Like when someone comes into our house, we offer to help with a mortgage so they can buy one of their own. And when the guys in green start raining threes, we think it's a good reminder about saving for a rainy day. Oh, and when people start jumping on the C's bandwagon, we're ready to finance that wagon at a very competitive rate. Well, I guess we're not exactly like every fan. Dedham Savings, here for the journey. Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender, NMLS number 473990.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Marcus Smart.
Smart in the corner, rides into a three over Clarkson, knocks it down.
Celtics play here.
Smart gets to the paint, spins it up and in.
98.5 to Sports.
Toucher and Rich, weekday morning, 6 to 10.
That was horribly uncomfortable.
Toucher and Rich, mornings.
It was all taken out of context.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
I, too, have been here 23 years. And it is a reminder, I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole. So I have that perspective.
And hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good afternoon, and welcome to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium for this Week 12 encounter of the AFC East leading New England Patriots and the 6-4 Dallas Cowboys atop the NFC East Division. Ready, deep drop. Throws across the middle. Caught by Myers on the run to the near side. Gouts to the 40, 45. Cuts it right across midfield. Yeah. And then he turns the legs inside the 45 of Dallas. Driven down by Thomas at the 43.
Glory hole.
Steps to his left. He goes down the field. Caught by Edelman. Right at the first down marker.
Oh, my God.
At the 49-yard line.
I want Mason glory hole.
Head eye snap to Jones. Oh, there's a first block. Yeah. He's high in the air. Jonathan Jones is there to knock it down. Trying to pick it up. Yeah. He'll dive on it. Jones has it for the Patriots at the 13-yard line. The ball came loose in the end, but the Patriots take over nonetheless. After another block punt, the long two high snap off the hand of Prescott. Gathers it in sidearms to the near side. Intercepted by Landon Gilmore. A lazy throw by Prescott.
Nice try.
Picked off by Gilmore in front of Cooper at the Cowboy 29.
A sad, pathetic throw by Prescott.
And now motions to the left as Brady takes the snap. Backs up, looking left. Back shoulder fade for Harry in the end zone.
Days and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole. So I have that perspective.
.985 to Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, Bob Sosi's hot takes are powered by Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, it's his hot cup of Bigelow tea before every game. Hot takes and hot tea, Bigelow tea, tea proudly. Bob Sosi on the Volkswagen dealer's expert hotline. What's up, Mr. Sosi?
Hey, good morning, guys. I was just thinking about, what a shame it is that we only get the chance to play the Cowboys once every 4 years and only get a chance to hear from Jerry Jones after a Patriots game once every 4 years.
Yeah, he kind of went scorched earth yesterday. I mean, for all the time that he has defended Jason Garrett, last night, he kind of put him on notice. I mean, I don't know if you heard, but at one point people were saying, coming to Foxborough, it's not tough to get out-coached here because Bill Belichick's so great. And then Jerry Jones' answer was something along the lines of, yes, but this is happening a lot often.
Yeah, of course, the proof is in the contract. We'll see if he extends him again after this year, as he so often has done to the confoundment of most people around the league.
Yeah, this is, and you know what? Joe said it best. Like, everything that happened that played out, a lot of it you could have called. I mean, there was going to be some questionable Jason Garrett call at the end of the game that just made you scratch your head. And in this case,
well,
it was not going for it on the field, going for a field goal.
Yeah, but the whole thing is that they were unprepared on special teams a couple times. They their game plan seemed, especially in the passing game, seemed to have no rhyme or reason. And when you guys were in the booth and they decided to not go for it on that 4-7 with the wind to their backs, what was the opinion in your guys' booth?
You know, in retrospect, we didn't say a whole lot about the decision to go for it, and in retrospect, we should have. Somebody asked. I ran into Chris Gasper in the locker room, and he said, "What did you guys say about that decision to kick the field goal on 4th and 7?" I said, "No, we really didn't talk so much about that." Zoe was very critical of the play call, which I would agree with because, 3rd and 7. In that case, too, you got to make the decision before 3rd down.
Right, because you can pick up a chunk,
and then
you have 4th down, right.
Exactly. And then beyond that, when it's 3rd and 7 and they roll out Prescott to his left, and he had been having trouble trying to throw all day in the conditions, especially not getting his feet set. And so they roll him out to the left, and you split the field in half. You completely eliminate half the field to your right. He's a right-handed quarterback. He's going left, and he's trying to make that throw to Jarwin, who would probably be the last guy you'd think of as a target for the Cowboys in that situation in the back of the end zone. And it was a poor play call. It was poorly designed and executed, and in retrospect, it was probably a poor decision on Garrett's part that we should have questioned in first hand, not second guess, but should have questioned it as it was unfolding. With around 6 minutes left, I guess, you could say that the Patriots weren't moving the ball at all as well. The Cowboys could get the ball back with 3 timeouts left. But in that situation, down by a touchdown, probably should have gone for, on 3rd down to try to get at least a chunk of it so you could set yourself up on 4th down to convert and try to score a touchdown.
Okay, so I watched a lot of Bill Belichick's press conference, and if he covered this, then please forgive me. So there was a moment that I don't know if Bill Belichick is getting enough credit for or whether it was by accident. And that is when the Cowboys were punting, and they decided it. Look, I mean, there was no one back there to return the punt. Now, whether or not if Bill Belichick actually did that on purpose in order to confuse the Dallas Cowboys, it was a masterstroke because it absolutely worked. They end up getting a delay of game and a 5-yard penalty out of it. And then, of course, they ended up putting, I think it was Rex Burkhead in after that.
No, Burkhead was in. They had no one covering the gunner. If the Cowboys had any coach,
yes,
any sort of coach, the punter would have turned around, thrown it right to the gunner, and the gunner would have gone without being touched into the end zone.
But am I giving the Patriots too much credit or Bill Belichick too much credit to think that he knew that that special teams was a mess, and he knew that if they put an extra man up there, what happened would have happened, where they just got confused? Or was that completely a mistake, in your opinion?
Well, in general, first, I think the Patriots recognized the special teams were a weakness, and you could see it over the course of however many games you watched. Even last week, Pollard, who had a terrific career returning kicks in college, has really struggled with his decision-making back there. He took a kick out last week out of the end zone after a lot of hesitation and wound up getting tackled inside the 15. Certainly, they saw something to try to exploit on the punt block with where they positioned Slater and how he got to Jones on that particular play. So I think, in general, Patriots go in, and they generally have a decided advantage when it comes to special teams. Now, with that particular sequence, I was a bit confused initially because I thought Edelman was back there to return when I first looked out on the field, and then he was gone. And you're right. I mean, Burkhead was moving around a little bit. The Cowboys took that delay game penalty. Then they also got called for an illegal shift before he ever punted. So they lost 10 yards in that particular sequence, and it proved to be big. And there was another and in fact, actually, they wound up losing 20 yards at all on a different punt because of a penalty where the ball was at the 18 and it wound up coming out to the 28. So we started thinking about hidden yardage, a muffed kick that's recovered, even though the Cowboys get it back. They had two of those. You think about all those yards that in a game where yards are hard to come by in offense, those are huge. It's hard to really quantify just what a difference that made in the game. With that particular sequence, I do think Belichick deserves some credit because the Patriots often toy with the opposition on special teams, and you have to give the Cowboys discredit, if you will, because you have to be aware that how often do we see the Patriots, for example, keep the offense on the field and then run the punt unit out there to try to catch the opposition with the improper personnel or maybe with an extra player on the field. They do it time and again, so you have to be prepared for anything. Maybe there was a mistake initially, but at the same time, if that's the case, you have to capitalize on that, and the Cowboys weren't prepared for it.
Yeah, I think that the first thing you would teach in practice would be, hey, look over. Oh, yeah, there's no one on the gunner.
Yeah.
Maybe I want to throw him the ball. All right,
you have that option too, Fred, absolutely. The
first
protector and the punter both have that option typically built in that if you see something
absolutely.
Like that.
Yeah, there's no one there. There's no one within 20 yards of the guy. All right, So, worst case, I don't, there's not a worst case. Worst case, there's not one. All right, so what did you guys think of those two tripping calls yesterday? One of those on the, one of those proving to be maybe the difference in the game.
They seem ticky-tack to me, although by definition, I guess it was, but I don't think
not
they
the,
call
well,
that.
The first one wasn't even by definition, but then you had Pereira, who's probably getting sick of saying things were not a penalty. What were your guys' feelings on those?
Somewhat critical on the first and very, very critical on the second. It's funny because Pereira was sitting, you know, where we sit in the booth, there's a window between our radio booth and the network television booth, and Pereira sits to the far right of that booth, so he's immediately to my left. He's just on the other side of the glass, and as the replay, and we also have a direct feed at home games. We have a direct feed from the truck, so we can see them queuing up the replays that he's going to see, and I looked over there at that point in time as they were running that particular replay over and over again. And, you know, I saw his reaction. I didn't need to hear it on television. And we had the same upon our first look at it. And Zoe was critical right on. You know, he was critical in the moment live on both. And then after seeing the replay, especially of the second one, extremely critical. I thought the Patriots got a break on that. I've seen some people on social media say that it was within the definition of the rule. I just thought Travis Frederick had a pretty wide base to begin with. And Hightower kind of ran into his shoulder and stumbled a bit. To me, it's got particularly in that situation. But tripping, you rarely see it. We've only seen those calls in the league all year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. You got to watch all these games, and you probably watch a lot more football than I do in order to prepare. Like, you never. When was the last time you saw tripping? And they call it twice. These officials are insane. Now, listen, Dallas very well could have still lost that game. There's no question about it. I'm not saying that the game was gifted to the Patriots. But I'm just saying officiating is weird. Yep. Like, you'll just see weird calls, and then twice in a game you'll see it.
And usually, too, when you see a tripping call, and I think I was trying to jog my memory. I think I've maybe seen it once this year, and it might have been on the Patriots. And usually when you see a tripping call, it's like a play in space where Lyman loses his balance or something, and then he kind of sticks out his foot, and it's a blatant trip.
Right.
In this case, it's an interior rush. It looks like a defender's trying to split two linemen and penetrate a gap. I just didn't see enough there. Again, I'm not an expert on the rules by any stretch.
Yeah, well, it's a bull rush.
I can understand the criticism, and I can understand how Cowboy players and fans must feel. We didn't think it was a passing interference initially on J.C. Jackson based on the replay we saw. So I think if you say that, you have to have the credibility to say when a call goes for the Patriots that, you know, they got a break in that situation.
Well, the officials not good this year. Bob Sosie's hot takes have been powered by Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, it's his hot cup of Bigelow Tea before every game. Hot takes and hot tea. Bigelow Tea. Tea proudly. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great holiday this week. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. All right. Our friend Gary Goldman is going to come and hang out for the rest of the hour with us, and we will talk to him coming up.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Through Twitter, I know more about Gary Goldman and his process. Every day, you've been giving a comedy tip?
Yes.
All year long?
330 days.
Are you ever just BSing them?
No, I put some effort and time into them because I don't want to let these people down at this point, but I'm running out.
This isn't like some scheme to make sure nobody's ever as successful as you so you can dominate the market. Just giving bad advice to everyone?
Or just making it seem super hard?
I give sincere advice. And one thing I do is try to tell people that there's so much luck involved and that if they're not hugely successful, it really has nothing to do with their effort.
All right. So Gary Goldman.
Does anybody ever send you their tape and say, can you tell me what you think of this?
Yes.
Is that, yeah. That's got to be tough. Because what if really you get tough. One and it
I
sucks?
I can't. I tell them I can't. Because what if it does?
Yeah.
What if it does suck? Was I not speaking into the right thing? All right, he's twisting. You know, there's a nice way to do that.
You're very forceful.
We can't let any. Don't break the third wall, Gary. All right. Gary Goldman, Peace of Mind Tour coming up Saturday, January 18th at the Wilbur Theater. For tickets and more info, visit GaryGoldman.com or thewilburtheater.com. And, of course, you've probably heard already about the Great Depression special that is getting many, many accolades. It's streaming now on HBO Go, HBO Now, and HBO On Demand.
Yes. Can I just say something associated with that? And this will sound self-serving, but at the same time, it'll give you guys a great compliment. The first show is sold out. The second show is close. I didn't have to come in here this morning. But and this is the only radio show I'm doing. I love you guys, and you guys have been so supportive. And Joe Murray, to a lesser extent, because I haven't seen him in 12 years.
I wouldn't have remembered him
if he didn't tell me the story. Steve Sweeney is producer, but I really felt for him when Brandon Merriweather was all over him. Why do you have to deal with that? And I know there's a pecking order and a status thing, but oh my word, I really felt for you.
It's the jock defending, like, the nerd. Like, I think that Brandon feels very protective.
That he calls Waldick?
Yeah.
It's his nerd. He's exploiting a man he calls Waldick, and how dare he call anyone corny after coming up with such a lousy nickname for Wallick?
Listen, Brandon shoots from the hip, baby, and he can't censor himself.
All right, okay. You're right, as is evidenced by that freestyle rap. Oh, my word. At first I thought, who is this? And I thought, oh, it has to be the person that is coming up on the radio, because otherwise this would have found its way to a delete.
I'm just afraid to talk any trash on him because I've Googled his name before.
No, I was saying, listen, there was a time where we had to collect a lot of athletes and people and have them do things.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was we were in rushed. So take it easy there.
But the first, well, the hour I listened to from 8 a.m. 9 a.m., really strong, really strong. I felt that the Yadro, the burglary, it almost made me glad that they were burgled so that I could find out about the urinal. And it can't be a coincidence that the only time I listen to you, you're talking about Yadro, because this is not the first Yadro conversation.
Are you home for Thanksgiving? Is that why you're here? Okay, yes. So you're home for Thanksgiving. So in Peabody is
Yeah, I'll
where
be at Champions Pub on Wednesday.
I heard that.
Okay. See, you're a Wednesday nighter.
I'm a Wednesday nighter.
Okay, to me...
5:30 to 7, I am in my glory, and then it gets too crowded with kids too young for me to recognize, and I get the hell out of
there. People talk trash on the Wednesday night of Thanksgiving week, because, oh, everyone's going by, oh, these losers. Hell no. That's like, yeah, I can't resist it.
Yeah, especially if you have a special out now that everyone's...
I'm a nobody.
But
on that night, I am somebody.
It's just like, yeah, keep it cool. Like, yeah, yeah.
Like, let's see what all my friends are doing who don't have HBO specials.
You know what's going to... I swear to God this is going to happen because this is how people do things that know you. Not you in particular. Uh-huh. Just know the person.
Okay.
They'll go, like, Gary, I haven't really been following you, and I haven't seen it yet, but I hear the special's pretty good.
Yeah, it'll be very undermining.
Yeah, because people do that all the time. They'll go, like, Fred, and I'm not putting myself... with an HBO special, but people always come up to me like that I know kind of, and they'll be like, I never listened to the show, but I happened to hear this one thing, and you're like, F you. Like, why do you have to start with that?
It's a reality check, it's humbling, but also you find yourself gravitating to the same three people you hung out with 25 years ago.
Absolutely.
And you see them anyhow, so the thing is that I go every year, and if I don't go this year, they'll say, oh, Gallman's big time in us. He's gotten too big time for us, and he's not coming to the thing. So,
do you still get the same weird anxiety? I mean, because you're, you know, obviously very successful in life and as a comedian, but when you are around old high school friends, do you still have the same weird anxieties about the pecking order of who you were in high school and where your place was?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, totally. And people inviting me to well, one thing happened in college. Remember Pete Mitchell from BC? He's getting his tremendous, and he's going to make the College Football Hall of Fame. So he reached out to have coffee in New York when he was visiting, and I was like, I don't know. What am I going to say? How can I put on a show for an hour with a guy who's having his number retired by Boston College? I don't have the material.
He wants you to be on, like you're expecting.
Sure. I just know that I have to make this work. If I have a friend who's in the College Football Hall of Fame, this changes my entire life.
Yeah,
I've got nothing, and he's not going to be asking questions about me. He doesn't care.
You're going to have to be on.
Do you find like these anyone is so bitter at your success? That people might even start, like, picking fights. Has anyone tried to, like, start crack? Because that happens, too, on the Wednesday night of Thanksgiving.
Oh, no. That hasn't happened because I mean, I self-deprecate enough that people know that I really have not built any kind of self-esteem and that my ego
came out with a special called The Great Depression.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like I was the things that keep happening. Like I was in the People magazine Sexiest Man Alive issue, but talking about my crippling depression and anxiety, which is like a Twilight Zone monkey paw wish. So I want to be in the Sexiest Man Alive, but you're going to be there with your mother talking about how you moved in at 47.
Okay, wait. So you were one of the Sexiest Men Alive?
No, I was just in that issue.
You were page, like, you know, 87.
It was the Sexiest
Man. I was page 77. Which I said, well, those are two lucky numbers. But it's me and my mom and me and my wife discussing how I wanted to jump out a window at age 47 well, and wound up moving into my mom's house.
So it's the Sexiest Men Alive, and yeah. These guys need a little work.
Yes.
That's how they did it.
Men we're thinking of.
All right, so you are back
for
things.
For their sex appeal.
Men we're worried about.
We're worried.
All right, so you're back.
That should just be a whole issue. Yeah. The men were worried about it. You know,
and it's everybody.
Nick Nolte, Gary Busey. Oh, my word.
Charlie Sheen's around there.
Yes. Guys that we're afraid
Has anyone checked on?
Has anyone checked on these men? That should be the name of the issue.
If we send a crew out to Busey's compound.
Is Butch Hobson okay?
Where's Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Well, listen, don't joke about the Taylor.
Where's he been
JTT.
Anyway? JTT from Home Improvement?
I don't know. It was Hallmark Channel, I'm going to guess. Okay, probably. A lot of that work. All right, So you were home for Thanksgiving. You were doing this.
Hang on, real quick. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So it says, ask him about his car getting towed at Champions when he was out front hammered the night before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know that I was hammered.
Everyone always says everyone's hammered.
But, yes, I did get towed outside of Champions and then spent the next 2 hours with my friend Erica Sandstrom, who lives in Beverly. And we went to the impound, and that's how I spent my Thanksgiving Eve. So that's my warning to people who are coming out to Champions. Get a lift.
Yes.
Get an Uber. We didn't have it at that time when it got towed. And also, I remember my friend in college, Mike Power, had this great thing where he would intentionally get himself towed so the woman would invite him to stay over.
Ooh.
Yes.
There you go.
It's an expensive, but not an awful method.
Not an awful
method.
Idea.
Yeah.
Now, if that doesn't work, though, you're taking a gamble. you got to be
it is a gamble.
You got to be a charming man.
Yes.
Because.
But that was Mike Power. He was a very charming man. Even his name is very charming.
It sounds almost fictional.
I know, it does.
Gary,
it
is this something that
he
you.
He was the quarterback in between Halloran and Foley.
So these are all BC kids.
Yeah.
Because Gary played football at BC, so he's...
Poorly.
Casually tossing around these names.
Because I'm on a sports radio
show. That's
right. This isn't casual. This is trying to appeal to your listeners.
Glenn Foley from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, which is where my wife grew up and where I'll never be again. I am never going to enter that town again in my entire life.
Really?
Yeah, I go to my father-in-law's house for Thanksgiving.
Oh, I see.
With the urinal and the Yadro clown.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know anyone who collects Yadro?
Well, I know that when I was working for Marshalls, I would have to do their inventory starting at midnight, and you had to count a certain amount of money worth of goods, and I figured I could get this done in 15 minutes if I just count the Yadros and the leather jackets.
Priceless.
And so here's what's going on now, though. I hear Yadro. I'm like, whatever. You can get them at Marshall's. But they might not have been the limited edition ones that your father-in-law is collecting.
Sure. I mean, please. Yeah, you could go out and get, like, you know, you could go out and get a... Billy Ripken card or something. Or you can go out and get, like, you know, the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card.
So did you work Marshalls on Black Friday? Like, was that anything? Did you ever do that during the holidays?
No, because I was working for the company that owned Marshalls and TJ Maxx, and so I had...
Oh, so you were an inventory guy?
I was an auditor. So one of the things was to do inventory, and it was not fun.
That would drive me insane because when I worked retail, you would have like once a year or twice a year,
these guys
show up and all they would do would just count.
Yeah, I would just count. But I learned that trick and then I would spend the rest of the night in the break room and then just wait until they closed for the night. But I remember getting burgled. It's interesting because when I was 10 years old, we got robbed. And the first thing I ran to was to see if they had stolen my baseball cards. And those are your father-in-law's yadras.
That's his yadras.
Right. They had left my baseball cards. And I'd even put – I remember I would put them in order in terms of the best player to the worst in a pile. And so that I left like a Rod Carew followed by a George Brett on top. And they were not interested. They were interested in my mother's silverware and some old coins.
Was it something that disappointed you in a way that – they made you question the value of the baseball cards?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. But it was before the big baseball card boom, and maybe people weren't aware that the real value was in my cabinet in my room.
All right. We'll be back. Gary Goldman, here are the headlines. .985 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and we were talking to Gary Goldman, his Peace of Mind tour, which will sell out. That's going to be January 18th at the Wilbur Theater. He's in town for Thanksgiving. He's nice enough to stop by. The Great Depression, streaming now on HBO Go, HBO Now, and HBO On Demand. And it's interesting, there is a bonus footage of Gary in here where he had said that he was going to do our 10th anniversary show.
Oh, yeah.
And then backed out, and we were kind of pissed. And
but not too much. I mean, we were like, all right, well, it's obviously something. But
he said he had another gig, and I was pissed. But then Gary came in and said everything that happened, and it's the filming of this. And you go at the end. By the way, I have the same sweatshirt on as I do that. But but Rich goes like, oh, I had no idea. Like, oh, this is going on. And I just go, I'm sorry, Dick.
Right, jerks about the old thing.
Right. So.
No, but at no point did you say Gary Goldman's dead to us.
Oh,
Gary
No.
You were very reasonable about it.
No. It wasn't anything like that. All right, so you are home for Thanksgiving, and if you watched The Great Depression, you were living at home for a little bit.
Yeah, and, 11 months.
But there are things you have to navigate with family.
Yes.
And my parents were just here in my house. Is it goes like straight up. So like,
okay.
I have two children, 11 and 9. I have my wife and I have my father and my mother there. They're both in their like 76, I guess, 77.
Oh, wow.
And it's very claustrophobic. Sure. And I got in a fight with my dad about politics because
tis the season.
And then he was taking the higher ground. Like, I told you I didn't want to talk about it, but dumbass, you didn't even read that. And so like that's where it goes to.
Yeah.
But it was the first time ever that my mom, like after they left, was still kind of pissy.
Right.
So. Do you navigate these things? Has there ever been a blow up with family?
Yeah. I remember Thanksgiving 2004. I said it is unethical for a Jew to vote Republican, and somebody in my family said you're crazy, and I ended Thanksgiving with "Go F yourself," and stayed for dessert.
Are you angry?
That is how comfortable I was with the uncomfortability, and also, I mean, I look forward all year to the pies, the never ending pies, the bottomless plate of pie.
The baked goods can withstand any kind of thing that's going on.
Is there part of you that likes the conflict? Is there something? Because I have family members who live to fight.
Righteous anger is the most powerful drug on earth to me. Right? Obviously, it's a subjective, what's righteous and what's not. So
sure.
Sometimes you're on the wrong side and you think you're right. But, it feels great. But then, much like the sugar rush or the caffeine rush, you come back to earth and you're like, oh, my gosh, I ruined that holiday. Yeah. Nobody is ever going to forget this. And it's going to be brought up again and I'm going to get warnings. I told you guys at the break, my mom said, could you not ruin another Thanksgiving by calling Trump Hitler? And I said, I'd never call him Hitler. There is no proof that I called him Hitler. I asked a simple question. Who would Hitler vote for? And the answer is indisputable. He is, I have votes for Bernie. I'm a Bernie bro. No. We know who Trump, who Hitler would support. And they say, why do you bring up Hitler in every argument? And I say, I do not. I bring him up in every conversation because I have to believe that we must bring his name up so he doesn't wind up like Milosevic put up huge numbers in the late 90s. in war crimes, genocide, ethnic cleansing, and I bring him up, most audiences say he won Wimbledon this past year. and I say, no. Yes, he won Wimbledon, but more importantly, he was a murderous dictator in the 90s who murdered people.
But you're right, because there's that, I mean, this is the time of year, and this week is worse than anywhere. I mean, I've got family members, too, that I've just had to, I can't talk politics.
Yes.
Because it, and you're right, there's that moment where they say something just so stupid.
Yes.
And so easily provable that it's wrong.
Right.
Like the logic is so flawed, and you got that thing inside of you goes, here we go.
Yep.
And you get ready to dig in.
Yes.
And when you... But you're right. When you do it immediately, you're like, I've ruined everything.
Yes.
And then you can't come back after that.
Yes. It doesn't feel good afterwards. The hangover from the righteous anger is, painful. Painful.
Well, me, I just, you don't know how many times I've wanted to press the comment section on Facebook and just put something on it.
I know.
Like, this is the most wrong thing that's ever been put on Facebook in the period of Facebook. All of your opinions are done by meme, which means you're an idiot.
Yes.
And then you have to just stop and step away.
Yes.
And there's nothing better than when somebody else does it for you.
Oh, that's like what is somebody who goes over all my tweets and things, so I don't have to
see
any
bad. That is so smart.
You're so smart.
I only see the good ones.
Yeah, I'm off. I got off because I was in it, and it wasn't so much what people were saying. It was my fear that I was going to go off.
Oh, yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And start something that would become uncomfortable when I come in here and see Scott Zolak.
That's right, because you called him out that one time. And,
wait, what happened?
Yeah, okay,
refresh my memory.
I said that he was, because what drives me nuts is growing up in the 70s where the Patriots were not going to win any game. It was a real huge thing if they made the playoffs. And so everything is frosting. And Zoe does his job. He criticizes the Patriots when they mess up. And I got upset and said that he was all sarcasm. And I came in here one day and he says, are you the guy from New York who said something negative? And I had forgotten about it.
Zoe doesn't
forget anything. And I said, it's possible, but I don't think so. And he showed me the printout. There he is.
I'm gonna beat your ass.
He could have been more gracious. And he taught me something. He taught me something.
This story's a little fishy. Because did you say he criticized the Patriots about anything? Because I think he's the Tommy Heinsohn of the Patriots.
He can't beat Heinsohn enough for me. He has to call everything against the Patriots a mistake.
Listen to this.
Third and a long two. High snap off the hand of Prescott. Gathers it in, sidearms to the near side. Intercepted by Brandon Gilmore. A lazy throw by Prescott.
Nice chuck and dunk
by Gilmore in front of Cooper.
Nice chuck and dunk, Prescott. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I found Johnny Most to be too objective for me. So, yeah. I
voice too melodious.
I get upset if they say any negative things, and I listen to some of the calls, and you would think if you didn't know the Patriots record this year, you would think that it was a disaster of a season.
Oh, that's true. Listen to Tom Brady, and you think it was a disaster.
Right, but it seems like they have this thing where they have figured out how to do well in the playoffs.
It's just this thing.
All right, don't go crazy, because people didn't come here for some comedian's hot take on sports. Some jabroni.
No, I understand.
Yeah, they've done okay. But here's the thing: is that if a team is 10-1,
what if you were a Bills fan, or God forbid the Washington?
I'm a Jets
NFL
fan.
Team.
Oh yeah, the Washington NFL.
I'm a Jets fan.
How did they get away with calling themselves the Redskins at this point in time? How long would the Miami hook-nosed Jews last?
In Miami?
If the season starts September 3rd, say, would the hook-nosed Jews still be in business on Rosh Hashanah? No.
Would you have a problem with it?
Yes!
I gotta ask you.
Yes! Yes, I would be horrified.
I don't know.
Well,
their owner is not a good guy.
He's the worst owner in the league. Right. And I always thought, too, like, why would you not change it for two reasons? One, of course, you know, it's probably the right thing to do. Yeah. And the other thing is, you know the zillions of dollars you'd make off of merchandise? Because everybody who has a Redskins one right now would have to buy something new.
Yes, yes. And also, the team hasn't been relevant, and I don't think this is coincidental, since Dances with Wolves came out.
You really know when Dances with Wolves came out?
It was like 91 or 92.
That was a milestone.
The last time the Super Bowl Redskins, right?
What did with that beat for Best Picture? Was it Goodfellas?
Not yes. Giants.
Oh.
They beat the Giants in the NFC, I think.
1990.
Yeah. Yep. It beat Goodfellas. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Ugh. Dances with Wolves.
Hey, Goodfellas still holds up, man. I could watch
my favorite
it's,
movie.
It's the greatest.
It's the greatest movie of all time.
Speaking of movies and greatest Irishman? Movies, you are part of history.
I am.
Did you hear
oh
about
that? Oh, my
gosh. Joker is the only rated, it's the first rated R movie, which you're in. You're in
yes.
Joker.
Yes.
It's the first rated R movie to pass $1 billion.
Wow.
And that's done without even being like released in a bunch of countries. Like China won't carry it. There's a couple other ones that usually.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, you are in one of the biggest films right. of all time.
I'm not in many, but whenever I am.
It's huge.
It's huge.
Is there something else that you've been in that has blown up?
No.
I should have just left it out there.
No, you're hang there.
That's
yeah.
a good point. It's the first major studio movie that I've been in. I was in this movie with Toni Collette, but it was like an independent movie. But okay. this is the first. So I'm one for one as far as $1 billion major studio movie.
Who's the most random person who has reached out to you and gone, oh my God, you're in this movie that I saw?
Well, the most interesting phone call I got was from Jay Leno. After the special, Jay Leno called me.
Really?
And, yes. And he was exactly as I expected.
Not
he's
funny?
He's a nice man, but he's so concerned with the business of comedy that he said, and this is a show about my depression and being suicidal, and he said, now you got like a hook.
You can be depressive guy.
You're depressive guy.
Oh my God!
It's like the watermelon what? With Gallagher.
Yes.
You know, you've got
yes.
your watermelon.
Every yeah,
you might
every,
be a redneck.
And I mean, I idolized him growing up, but I didn't want to say, hey, I think you're off on this. But
if you've ever thought about killing
and
yourself,
it's really nice
you
to,
might have
it's
depression.
It's really nice yeah. of you to call.
Get the electro whatever therapy every couple
yes,
of years.
Yes.
You come out, you get a new
yes,
story.
Yes, yes. You should look forward to a relapse. A relapse means a sequel.
That's five cause.
And a whole new tour, all new material.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
Oh, that's unbelievable. What do you say to that?
I said, well, that's an interesting take. I don't know that I did it for that. But he said, you know what I'm saying. If you get a good joke out of it, it's worth it.
Our producer just had one. You could call it the Great Regresh.
Oh,
there you go.
Get back into
excellent.
It. All right.
Excellent.
Gary Goldman going to stick with us as we get Zolak and Bertrand in here. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Gary Goldman in studio. He will sell out. He didn't have to come in today, but he's a nice guy. He's here for Thanksgiving. Peace of Mind tour Saturday, January 18th at the Wilbur Theater. Tickets for the 9:45 show still available. They'll be gone soon. For tickets and more info, visit GaryGoldman.com or TheWilbur.com. Plus, you can see his The Great Depression, a very special that's gotten a lot of accolades.
It's shortlisted for the Nobel Peace Prize.
I've heard that.
Like anybody would know that it wasn't.
I know.
Right. Well,
for a second, I was in you yeah. and Maya Angelou.
A shortlist. It's on a. It's on a. So I picture it on a post-it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
They just make a short list and then we'll get
they're
it.
Actually making a stamp of Gary, and that's gonna be for Hanukkah.
It's a forever.
It's a forever stamp. It's streaming now on HBO Go, HBO Now, and HBO On Demand. Scott, do you want to come into the studio?
Zo, you're hiding over there. Come on.
It's time to cross over, baby.
There you go.
Oh, this is my favorite part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the
one of my two favorite Sports Hub shows combined.
It's all right.
No, you come in. Yes. You say hello. You Sup? Change the dynamic.
Sup?
Yes, Rich has got a new hat, indeed.
You were extremely, you were very excited yesterday.
It was a big game yesterday.
It was a big game. It felt like a big game.
Right, because everybody told us, like, for weeks that they haven't played anybody. You know?
Yeah.
So they finally played somebody, so now we could actually talk about a real football team. Right.
Right.
Defense did pretty good yesterday.
The defense played very, Gilmore is the defensive MVP, you would say?
I was 10 feet from Jerry Jones when he was doing it's funny. So the whole locker room, Dallas Cowboy locker room, they do all their interviews, and then Jerry stands outside where the equipment room is. And he waits for all the press to come and they all do half circle. And you could just see he looked white as a ghost. I'm sitting there like, this guy gave up a first round pick for Amari Cooper. Or did they give up two?
Two, I think. I think
he gave up two.
It was a lot.
So imagine that guy gets negated. You're the number one third down offense, quarterback's number one guy in the last month. He doesn't get one catch. You paid Zeke all that money to get him to come in. He held out of camp. You know you're going to have to pay Dak probably north of 35 per year. And you sit there and you stare at that coach with five losses.
I mean, he's terrible.
Yeah, he's awful. He sucks.
I don't know what he does. I mean, I'm sitting there watching him.
He's got pictures or something.
He keeps them tucked in his back of pants, and he claps and tries to high five guys.
He
just walked by him.
I saw that video of was it Dak or was it Dak or Zeke who walked
right by him?
All right, real quick, the whole tweet thing where you had tweeted Scott Zolak something negative.
I tweeted that you were sarcastic rather than giving objective call of the game because unless you are worshipful towards the Patriots, it was a very bad tweet and. I have a policy now. I will never tweet anything that I wouldn't say to the person if they confronted me in the radio station. So I learned a great lesson from that, but also in grace in that he didn't smack me around in the back of the room.
I think you assumed sarcasm when he was... you couldn't believe someone was this excited about it.
But your memory is insane.
Oh, yes.
I remember everything. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so what,
gift or curse?
Like, this bastard from New York who says he's from here is attacking me and like not being homerish. Plus, he's a comedian. He's not even funny.
All right. That's too far.
I took some weird shots. It was weird. And I'm like, God, don't get into it.
So you can't make fun of the man's profession. Come on now, Scott.
Well, obviously he's changed his mind since then.
Yeah, obviously.
All right, so Gary.
What do you think of the new guy, Gary, huh?
I've enjoyed his work, and I like his
work. Absorbs that seat, man.
Has he stood up today?
No. What did you do in the rain yesterday?
So I was trying. I got invited up to the booth yesterday to come meet you guys.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to walk up the stairs, so I never.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
He's not gotten up today. He's not gotten up since I got here.
I had a 12-hour day yesterday in the rain at Gillette.
Yeah, I got here at like 5:40, and he has not gotten up.
I get up every segment. I don't see.
I get
Joe Murray's sitting there.
You can tell by the heat here.
Joe Murray just sitting there.
Yeah, the air conditioning won't.
Where's Gary coming in next? Because there's a sensor that's broken up on the roof that the fire department has cut off all of the air conditioners.
And now is that why that's happening?
The sensor's gone. It's shut down by the fire department. That's what I was told. Sensor is supposedly has been ordered. So next time Gary's in, I bet you the AC is not working.
All right. Well, Gary is very kind to come in because he didn't have to sell tickets, but we always
right. But there's also the inevitable fall from grace, and I'll have to come back then. It'll be much more comfortable if I didn't blow you guys off.
Glad the therapy is really kicked in and positivity reigns. All right, Gary Goldman, it's always a pleasure.
It's great to see you guys. Thank you. Have a great holiday.
You do the same.
And I'll see my PBD friends at Champions. I'll get there about 5:30. If you're there after 7, I'll be gone.
Champions at the Marriott?
No, it's not at the. This one isn't at the Marriott. It's on. Main or Forest Street. I don't know. Best steak tips in
the world.
In the North Shore. They're incredible. So I'll see you there.
All right. There you go. Champions and Peabody. You just got a big plug. All right. That'll do it for us, everyone. Have a great day. Bye.
At Dedham Savings, we're fans of Boston's historic basketball team, just like you. Like when someone comes into our house, we offer to help with a mortgage so they can buy one of their own. And when the guys in green start raining threes, we think it's a good reminder about saving for a rainy day. Oh, and when people start jumping on the C's bandwagon, we're ready to finance that wagon at a very competitive rate. Well, I guess we're not exactly like every fan. Dedham Savings, here for the journey. Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender, NMLS number 473990.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.